Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 20. Hey, welcome back, Boston and beyond, to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 20. I just want to say to the technology equality community, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for checking out the show each week. You guys are absolutely awesome. Time is money, and the fact that you guys bother to spend any of your time whatsoever with me checking out the show, much appreciated. So without further delay, I would love to welcome to the show Mitch Dowell, founder and CEO of Branding Experiences. For the past 17 years, Mitch has been making companies, their products, and their people look and sound good through a combination of smart marketing and competitive visual branding. Mitch started his corporate marketing career in 1997, working for a variety of startups during the dot-com and post-dot-com boom. Among many marketing disciplines, his primary focus is on the initial visual branding experience. Mitch founded Branding Experiences during the Great Recession to bring his expertise to underdog businesses and brands. Mitch, welcome to the Technology Equality community. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent. You have to tell me the story of your startup. You began in 2008 in the middle of the recession, and our show is designed to hear the story, find the pain, and create a solution. So I'm betting there's a great story behind this one.
My story is pretty familiar. One of the reasons why I started the company back in 2008 is because I didn't really see a rosy future at the time. It was in the middle of the recession, and the economy was tanking, and banks were imploding, and people were getting laid off by the thousands.
Yes, we're all familiar.
Yeah, actually millions. So, there are a lot of career professionals out there, especially those in marketing-related career fields, who were putting their safety nets into place, and not just sprucing up the resumes or the portfolios, but putting some more, significant safety nets in place. Because there was a different smell in the air about that particular economy. And, registering the company was one of those safety nets. It was never intended to be a full-time business endeavor. I was simply just bracing myself for the inevitable layoff, And the company was initially just going to be a stepping stone for me to my next endeavor. But, it wasn't actually until 2 years later when the layoff actually occurred. So my business was actually just a bunch of legal paperwork on a bookshelf for 2 years. And so it wasn't until then that, 2010, until I fired things up full time and just floored it from there.
So what were some of the first steps that you took once, you had already had your business up and running in the background to a certain degree, but what were some of those first steps you took 2 years post, kind of starting up and actually having that layoff?
Well, the first step was getting my marketing image and marketing story in place. That was the first priority for me. The first impressions that I put out there had to be spot on. Any company that sells marketing, branding, or communication-based services, they first and foremost need to lead by example. Otherwise, you just don't come across as credible or convincing to your marketplace. So that was the first priority for me. I think the second step was to get out there in the marketplace and find out where my prime prospects were truly gathering. A lot of business owners, first-time business owners, tend to be drawn to networking events and meetups that are focused on their own industry. And although that may be where the familiar conversations are, that may not necessarily be where the prospects go to find services like yours.
Exactly.
So there had to be some research in the beginning that had to be done up front that involved a lot of time and creativity, but it was well worth it in the beginning. So that was definitely one of the first priorities.
Excellent. So just to recap that for the audience, one of the major moments, and of course with a company such as Branding Experiences, your first priority was making sure that when people saw your company, your name, your brand, they knew who you were, making sure that your brand stands out and is credible and noticeable on a number of levels was one of the first most. But research is something that we always come back to because it is so imperatively important. Research in all angles, and I love the angle that you took on that, Mitch, in terms of the networking. Mm-hmm. I've actually done a blog post or two on that. Don't just go to networking events for the heck of going to networking events. Yeah, they're fun. You get out the house. You're interacting with people in your field, so forth and so on. But like you said, going to ones that have to do with your field aren't always necessarily the way to go because you're not being productive there. It's not necessarily an income-generating activity anymore if you're just going to hang out with your peers. So great point there, Mitch. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like was one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur?
I think the biggest thing that had to be tackled in the beginning was the emotional part of it all. Business ownership is a big plunge. And, you know, we tend to think of business as being all X's and O's and being very, you know, cold and sterile. But, you know, especially when you're owning the, you know, when you're the captain of the ship there, it can be very emotional. And I had one of my first clients in the beginning, we were on the same, talking about the same topic. And she said that, you know, you know, as a full-time business owner, you have to be all in. You can't do it half-heartedly or reluctantly. Because it'll be like, you know, being in the fast lane with the parking brake on. You know, there's just going to be a lot of grind, and it's not going to be an enjoyable experience. So you have a lot of business owners who became business owners as a result of the recession. So they went into business ownership somewhat reluctantly. So it was even more emotional for that demographic. You know, the business world has been so unpredictable since the recession, and you know, all of the old rules have been shattered, you know, especially with how fast technology is advancing and how fast products and services make it to market, that you know, it is going to be a roller coaster, and you know, emotionally you really have to be all in. Definitely.
How do you feel like you overcame that part of it? Or do you feel like you overcame that part of it? What do you feel like, you know, has really assisted you with the emotional aspect of becoming a business owner?
I think, you know, client relationships are key. You know, when you do great work and people value what you do and you go to battle, you know, at the project level, not battle against each other, but you're on the same army, you know, tackling the same marketing objectives. You know, they can really make your work, they can really make you feel valued and really make your work rewarding. And it's really important to go all out, at the project level because that can really feed into, you know, making you a more positive, optimistic business owner, you know. And if you're gathering the wrong types of clients and the ones that are dragging you down or preventing you from making the profit numbers you need to make, they can really kill the mood of the whole experience.
Certainly. That's actually something that I do kind of try to stress to some of my clients is making sure that they tier their own clients and how to go about doing so. What do you feel are some of the key metrics that a newbie should focus on when looking at tiering their clients?
Well, actually, you know, going back to the whole issue of profit numbers, you know, one of the things that gets overlooked when someone is considering starting a business is they will see an industry or a business opportunity that is generating a lot of hype and buzz out in the marketplace, but they're not necessarily money makers. And, you know, especially like take social media, for example, it's all the rage now. It's all the buzz. And, you know, you can rack up a lot of followers and a lot of likes and everything, but that doesn't mean that they're converting to actual customers and clients. And you know, you ask any CEO or CFO, you know, they hire marketing people not just to generate buzz and hype, but to generate buzz that's going to you know, result in to have an effect on the bottom line. Ask any marketing professional who's been laid off; they'll tell you the same thing. You know, it's not just a matter of shuffling the the org chart. You know, you have to generate marketing that does convert. So I think, you know, in regards to all the key metrics that need to be looked at and researched in the beginning, I think the no-brainer thing to look at is whether or not what you're going after or the marketplace you're going after, if that service offering is truly going to pay your mortgage, you know, and truly going to work for you financially. Because everybody's situation is different, and it's so easy to get sucked up into an industry or a product offering that has a lot of buzz and hype, but it doesn't mean that it's going to pay the bills.
Right. No, definitely. And that kind of rolls into the next question regarding, you know, a minimally viable product. It's something that needs to be done before you go all out. You need to make sure that that product is actually going to support you in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, you're just kind of still have a hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still a hobby. Yep. So, you know, definitely, I agree. And when putting out that product, do you feel like there's a limit to the amount of research that should be done, you know, either minimum or maximum when looking at that product and going forward with it?
I don't think there's any such thing as a maximum amount of research, in my opinion. You know, but there's also a lot of street smarts that come into play in the business as well. So you can only do so much research before you just got to, you know, put on the running shoes and go. You need to know.
Dive in.
Yeah.
Yes.
You need to know when, where, and how to use the results of your market research. And, you know, you have to get out of the starting gate in order to do that. So, and how to leverage that research in strategic ways. You know, there's an old saying, you know, to know the road ahead, ask those coming back. And I think the best research that you can possibly do is talking with those who have already been there, who, you know, either in your industry or marketplace. And, you know, the kind of research that involves more intuition rather than statistics, you're going to have to do a lot of homework in both areas. And the more, the better, in my opinion. But to really swallow your pride and show some humility and ask some other folks in your industry, not direct competitors, but, you know, ask the folks in your industry who have been there who can share their knowledge, because everybody loves to be asked. Everybody likes to be a mentor, whether they advertise it or not. It's just a very flattering thing. And, you know, above and beyond just hard numbers and statistics, you know, getting some of that feedback and research from more of an intuitive level is really invaluable.
Certainly. No, it definitely is. It means a lot when you're able to have someone provide information to you regarding what it is that you're doing from an outside view, when it's not just you staring at your work at all times. Because when you trap yourself in a bubble and you don't bother to have, you know, feedback from anyone else, it's a difficult thing to actually know what it is that you're going to be able to achieve or measure anything in any respect. So it's important to do the research, but to also get out there so that you can really delve into the research and use that in strategic manners.
Right.
So, how do you feel like technology has assisted you in building your business?
You know, the majority of our services, you know, the branding and the marketing that we do is delivered entirely online. So I would say that, you know, technology, I think it'd be fair to say that it's, you know, it's the backbone of our business, because we do so much over the internet, and so many of the technologies we use are cloud-based, so it's how we communicate, it's how we deliver, and it's been everything in building the business. So I think I think the only low-tech trump card around here would be the coffee maker.
Yeah. I understand completely. No, it's funny. It's when you look at the world the way it is today versus even two decades ago, it's crazy how much technology has literally transformed everything we do.
Right.
What do you think a prospective entrepreneur should take into consideration prior to taking the leap?
I think one of the biggest and most common rude awakenings that new entrepreneurs have, it involves around what it costs to properly market a new company. You know, do thorough research on what it costs to do a proper launch. You know, don't just register your company name with the intention of figuring out the marketing costs later. Because, you know, bring some capital to the table when you launch your company and show your business dreams, you know, that kind of respect. You know, I say that because, you know, we get a lot of new clients that come our way who just, you know, threw a quick, good enough website up and scrapped together a good enough logo. Right. And they do what they refer to as a soft launch, and then they come back to us a few months or a year down the road to do everything in a more proper way. Right. Although that's not uncommon in the small business world, the problem with that approach is that you're doing the same work twice. And during that soft launch, you've already created some first impressions out there in the marketplace that may or may not have been good ones. And you may or may not be able to change through a second launch. Right. So, you know, don't start off your business marketing with that good enough mindset. You know, you're not in the good enough business. None of us are. None of us should be in the good enough business. You know, run the numbers on what it takes to do a proper company launch, and don't let the initial numbers scare you. They are what they are. You know, your marketing and your visual branding is the very first thing that your target audience will experience. It should never be the last thing that you choose to plan a budget for.
Right. No, definitely. I would say that the number of times that I've seen soft launches go into effect, and including one of my own, it's something that where you're doing the work, but if you're not paying attention to the added little pieces, and it really is a matter of taking the time to plan it all out, looking at every aspect of the details of what it's going to take to get the exposure, to get the marketing, to get the advertising, to get the branding, to really make sure that you have it all in one before you do anything, because it's, you know, there's always surprises, so take the time to do the research.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it boils down to. But the show is designed to help entrepreneurs really come up with ideas for new innovative companies in an industry that they may not have thought of. So I want to help you, Mitch. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
I would learn to mass produce magic wands. I would make a killing. I don't know. I think there are so many things that I could change. One of the things that another thing that gets overlooked by entrepreneurs is the challenge that time management and work-life balance is going to have in not just within the business, but within the whole life picture. Because as a business owner, you're never going to clock out. You may physically leave the office and lock the door, but you're mentally always on. And, you know, not just from a technology perspective, but just in terms of your self-talk, you know, you're always thinking about your business and brainstorming. That conversation that we have within ourselves becomes more and more business focused. And yet, when you're out mowing the lawn, you know, you're not thinking about, who won the baseball game in the morning. You're probably churning out business ideas. It's just the way it is. So I think as far as that magic wand is concerned, it would have, something to do with how to better optimize time management and that work-life balance. I think it becomes easier 5 years in or 10 years in to your business because you've put some processes in place and you've gotten into a rhythm and a groove. But, you know, the first, say, 3 years, 4 years of your business, hang on for the ride because you're going to wish you had a magic wand that just doesn't exist. So.
That's excellent. Well, Mitch, I thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
This has been a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. So how would my listeners best find you online?
You can find me at MitchDowell.com. You can find my business at BrandingExperiences.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram under the name @BrandingExp and on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandingExperiences.
Excellent, Mitch. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys. Somebody has to work on mass-producing 3D wands. If I could even speak right now, I'm so excited because that was such an awesome episode. But one of you has got to work on 3D printing magic wands. I don't know why we didn't think of that one sooner. Duh. Anyhow, don't forget to reach out to Mitch Dowell at MitchDowell.com, or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Mitch Dowell. Thank you again for joining me, everyone, for episode number 20. I truly enjoyed recording this episode, and I look forward to recording many, many, many more. I hope that this show is helping you on your entrepreneurial journey. I know that hearing the story from someone else really helped in my journey. So here's to your success. And until next week, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.